On Rambling About Cars, it's all about performance. We've got the new Porsche Cayman GT4 RS, we've got the new Honda Civic Si, we've got a new Chevrolet Corvette Z06 teaser, and we've got the Batmobile Caped Crusaders. There's nothing else I could say there. I have to say Caped Crusaders. It's podcast time. I'm Christopher Smith. Across the way, you know Chris Bruce. That's right. How you doing, Bruce?
Doing well. Nice Ohio fall here. Kind of leaves are starting to fall. It's a little crisp in the air, but still not, you know, you throw an extra blanket on the bed and you're good. So
things I took good. The convertible out for the weekend a little bit because it was 70 after snowing last week, and then it snowed again today.
Wow. Okay.
That pretty much sums up my life in Western South Dakota. I think I need to move back east a little bit. This seesaw effect is starting to get to me a little bit.
Well, let's talk about a car you would never want to drive in any little bit of snow.
Oh, I don't know about that. I love driving crazy cars in snow, but I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Well, the Porsche Cayman GT4 RS. We have finally seen it. I will put this up here in a little bit. But
finally, in quotation marks, right. We have finally seen it.
For anyone listening, the first time that we saw spy shots of this car was from September of 2019. That means it has been over 2 years of spy shots and videos of this car testing. And they're finally confirming that, oh, it's coming and it's going to debut next month. But you want to know what? It's debuting next month, but they haven't told us how much horsepower it makes yet.
Right. No. And that's, and I mean, and to be honest, if you follow Motor1.com, and you should, and if you've seen these spy shots, if you've seen any Porsche spy shots, you know, their definition of spy shots is just like, well, let's just put a couple inches of black tape and some plastic on it and just call it good. They don't really hide anything. So when we say we've seen this car for over 2 years, this debut, I mean, it's neat, but it's not really telling us much new. We've pretty much already seen this car from the outside. So not having the horsepower, I mean, that's what we want to know. That's what everybody wants to know, right?
Right. And so we do know that it uses Porsche's 4-liter flat six engine. Mm-hmm. They use that in a lot of other products now and just kind of varying outputs. So it makes 414 horsepower in the standard GT4. The rumor is 500 in the RS. Like, that sounds like a lot for a 4-liter naturally aspirated engine, but it'll rev to the moon. So maybe they'll do it.
Rev it way up there. And Porsche, it's worth pointing out here. Porsche did say that the GT4 RS does have more power.
Yes.
So we know it's at least going to be 414. Well, we know it's going to be somewhere above 414. It could be 415. It could be 500.
It's going to be somewhere between 415 and 500, I bet. And the reason I think that is that they also told us the Nürburgring Nordschleife time. That's 7 minutes, 4 seconds, 0.551.
That's fast.
That's 23.6 seconds faster than a Cayman GT4. So that means the RS is almost half a minute faster than the GT4.
That's
crazy.
That is a significant number. I think, I mean, Porsche is smart here. I know a few weeks ago I went on a rant about teasers. If you want to do a teaser, this is how you do it. We're a month away. We've seen the car for 2 years. Porsche finally says, okay, here's what's going on. And then they drop a figure like this, which petrol heads will understand. When you can lop 23 seconds off the Nürburgring, the Nordschleife, that's a big deal. And that lends credence to this car. Well, maybe it does have 500 horsepower. Now, Porsche has also said that this car is going to have better brakes, obviously. It's going to have more downforce. So it's not just about putting power down. It's about using that power better. And yeah, man, it's starting to make an argument. Do you really need a 911?
Yeah. Well, the Cayman's kind of done that for a while, but this one really just nails that home. I wanted to put it in perspective. So the previous gen, which is known internally as the 991, and the refresh version of that is known as the 991.2. So the original one that came out, 991.1, and then the refresh 991.2. The refresh 911 GT3 did a Nürburgring lap time of 712.7. So that means that the new Cayman is, what is that, sick, like 8 seconds, just about, a little over 8 seconds quicker. And to put that further into perspective, the between the refreshed 911 GT3 and the original, the refreshed one was 12.3 seconds quicker than the original. So you're talking about a car that's nearly 20 seconds quicker around the Nürburgring than a previous gen launch 911 GT3. Like, that's a stupid quick car, no matter how you want to think about it.
That's a lot of numbers you tossed out there.
I know.
I'm doing the math in my head, and then I was just like, nope, I write for a living. So the takeaway is the GT4 RS is going to be quite a machine.
Yes.
And I mean, it doesn't, and the thing I like about it, yeah, it's got the big wing. And by the way, you should be checking us out here, Motor One Podcast on YouTube. Go there, like and subscribe, follow, comment, the whole shot, because you can see what we're talking about here. We have photos that that Porsche dropped of the Cayman GT4 RS that we're showing right now. It's got that big rear wing that has
swan the neck ring.
Yep, the swan neck wing.
Sorry.
Yes. But other than that, it doesn't look that wild. I mean, it has a more aggressive front fascia, but it's not. I mean, it's not over the top by any means. I think for something with an RS badge on it from Porsche, I think it looks kind of tame, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, that wing is never going to look tame, but
we're talking about just the wing. We're talking about just the backside. We're not seeing, like, you know, the big vents over the wheel wells or little winglets up front. It's
perfect that we got to this image. So the one thing that, and this is controversial, that Porsche does, and if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it now, is that you'll see there's both a roll cage and a racing driver's seat in this car. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those things will be in the production car. Porsche, though, says it is for the safety of the driver, and so whenever it sends its cars around the Nürburgring for any kind of big lap time numbers, they do those things.
And right.
It's controversial because you can't walk into the showroom and buy it. So is that technically a production car?
Well, I mean, the safety aspect, a lot of manufacturers do that at the Nürburgring. I mean, the seats, I don't think the seats going to make any difference. If anything,
is actually going to probably add weight rather than subtract weight.
It'll add a little bit weight, but it might also add a little bit more stiffness to help plant the car a little bit better. I mean, that's why it's controversial, right? Because those aren't things you're going to be able to get at the factory. But does it mean that this car is going to be 23 seconds slower? No.
Of course not.
Yeah. No.
Well, it might be 23 seconds slower if I'm driving it, because they put a professional driver in there and I'm just
it's going to be a minute 23 slower because I've seen way too many Nürburgring crash videos, and that's not how I want to spend my time on YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, even if those things do make it, so we'll add a second or two. Who cares? This thing is still just going to be amazingly quick, not just in a straight line, but around corners.
Especially around corners. Like that's
and
where
I can't,
it's I can't a wait to see carver.
It. Yeah. If it does have 500 horsepower, that thing is going to be insane in a straight line too.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Okay. I mean, this debuts in a month. Did Porsche tell us exactly when or just sometime next month?
Let me look. I thought they gave us a date, but
I didn't think there was a date. I think it was just sometime next month.
Yeah, it looks like you're right. So sometime next month.
Sometime in November.
Literally, our pal Anthony wrote final testing ahead of a debut sometime next month. So
there you go.
There you go.
And I mean, as you're listening to the podcast, as we're recording the podcast, I better have another drink before I try to talk anymore here.
There you go.
As we're recording the podcast, I mean, this is kind of breaking news for us because this is pretty fresh news. It'll be a couple days old by the time you hear it, but still, Porsche Cayman GT4 RS coming up. I'm excited to see it. This could be one of the best debuts we have, for me at least, of the second half of the year at least.
I agree. I think Z06, but we'll be talking about that in a second.
Right.
The one thing real quick I want to talk about with Cayman is that I feel like the Cayman is falling into that gulf that like the Porsche 944, 914, 912 used to be in, that they're the sub 911. But when you actually look at the figures and specs, it, even if you look at previous generations, but especially with this RS, like, it's every bit, if not more, than what you get for a 911. And they're always right. cost less. And on the used market, they cost less because they don't have that cachet around them. They're kind of a diamond in the rough, I feel like.
I totally agree with you there. And I feel like Porsche maybe understands that, and they're taking extra steps to market the Cayman and the Boxster to make it not kind of get pigeonholed into the, well, this is the Porsche you get if you can't afford a 911. No, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Both cars are outstanding in their own right. And with this GT4 RS, I mean, there'll be plenty of 911s that won't be able to match it. Plenty of 911s that won't be able to match it.
A 911 Carrera straight factory will do, but like the GT4S will just leave it in its dust. Like it won't even matter.
Yep. Yep. So no, this definitely isn't just the Porsche to hold you over until you get a 911. They're keepers. And I mean, if I was choosing between a 911 and a Cayman, I'd probably still take the 911. I'll be honest, but I wouldn't take it because I wouldn't take it just because it's the 911. I would take it because I prefer the styling. I like the rear engine. That history that goes along with the car. I'm not taking it just because I don't want a stigma of the Cayman. I would be taking it because of the right reasons.
I agree with you to a point. So for anyone who hasn't listened before, a 911 is kind of my dream car. I understand that's a very attainable dream car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something I could do, but at this point in my life and in years past, it definitely hasn't been. But I think a Cayman, it ticks almost all of those boxes, and it does so for, you know, a fraction of the price. And if you're out there and you're looking at, you know, a Cayman, Cayman S, GTS, whatever, that's a lot of car. And yeah, you might get a few sideways glances at a Porsche Club of America meet, but you know what? In 10 or 20 years, you're not, because just the way that 944s, 928s are starting to go up and up and up in value, that's going to happen to the Cayman eventually.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think that's a pretty good point to segue into something 20 years from now. What will people think of the brand new Honda Civic Si 20 years from now? Because the impression I'm getting is that they don't think too much of it right now. This just debuted. We knew it was coming. The 2022 Honda Civic Si. It has 200 horsepower. And if you know Hondas and you know the Civic Si, you know that's 5 horsepower less than the previous generation. Generally speaking, when you take your performance car and you evolve it to the next generation and you offer less power than the previous generation, it doesn't always go over very well. And mind you, this is coming from somebody who owns a 1995 Ford Mustang, the SN95, which was a bit derided because it was 10 horsepower less than the previous generation Ford Mustang. And I tell you what, to this day, I mean, I like the car. There are plenty of people that like the car, but it still kind of falls in Ford's doghouse as a, you know, why did they do that kind of thing? So here's Honda with their new Si. Of course, it's the same engine. It's the 1.5 liter, 200 horsepower. So it's a little bit less, 192 pound-feet of torque. That's the same torque as it had before.
Exactly the same.
But Honda says, just because of the tuning, the torque comes on a little bit earlier. It's 300 RPM lower in the rev range. I think 1800 RPM is where you start to get that maximum torque. So in theory, it'll make the car kind of get up and go a little bit quicker.
And
Honda.
I was going to say real quick, and if you get the manual, the flywheel is, am I 25% or is it 33 lighter?
Let me look at my notes. 26.
20. Okay. Well,
20. It's 26. Yeah, the flywheel is 26% lighter, which means obviously less rotational mass. You go with a lighter flywheel. The engine is going to spin up
quicker.
Exactly. It's going to spin up a little bit quicker. But before I get to the but, because We have all kinds of butts to talk about with the Civic Si, I think, between me and Bruce. At the other end of the RPM range, Honda says, okay, yes, it's down 5 horsepower, but you're going to get more horsepower from that 200 peak at 6,000 RPM to redline at 6,500 versus the previous Civic Si. So in other words, once you get past,
run their car to the redline.
I know, friend. It's like once you get past your peak horsepower, basically it's not going to drop off as fast until you bump into the rev limiter at 6,500. So there you have it. We have the torque that comes in a little bit lower. We have horsepower that's a little bit less, but doesn't drop off quite as much. We have a flywheel that's a little bit lighter, so it revs a little quicker. The idea here is that the car is going to be more engaging, more fun to drive than the outgoing generation. I think this brings us to the butt. Bruce, am I wrong in thinking Honda is just trying to blow a bunch of smoke here? I mean, I'm just gonna cut right to the chase. I'm sorry, but when you're bragging about a lighter flywheel by 26%, what's that flywheel weigh? Maybe 15, 20 pounds. So we'll say, and I think 20 pounds is probably heavy for that small of an engine, but yeah, we'll go with 20 pounds because the math is pretty easy here. If that's 26% lighter, that's basically 5 pounds. So they basically, so you could say in a best case scenario, they shaved 5 pounds off the flywheel, but 26% sounds better. So, okay. There's smoke and mirror items. Number one, I don't think you're going to notice that very much at all. The smoke and mirrors item number two, 192 pound feet of torque that comes in 300 RPM lower in the rev range. You'll feel that a little bit, but without seeing like the plots, without seeing, you know, just how that torque curve is going. It comes in a little bit earlier, but unless the comparisons between the previous generation and this generation, unless the torque curves are just vastly different, you're not really going to notice that very much. I don't think. I don't see that making a difference at all.
Yeah.
1800 versus I think 2200, where you reach peak torque. That's still pretty low in the range for a little four cylinder like this. So, smoke and mirrors item number two. You're really not going to notice that. The biggest one here, they're talking about more power after the peak. It's just like, that's just desperate, Honda. That's just pure desperation. You're trying to find reasons to make the new Civic Si sound like it's a superior performance vehicle. And I'm sorry, but under the hood, at least, I don't think it is. Now, I would need to reserve that judgment until I drive the car, and I would like to drive the car. But from the release, that just sounds terrifically, terrifically disappointing, at least from the engine standpoint. Now, I mean, obviously the Si is going to get tweaked suspension. It's going to get bigger brakes. Of course it is available with a 6-speed manual. It does get the rev matching technology from the Civic Type R, which, okay, again, that's kind of neat, but I mean, is that going to translate much to a better driving experience? I don't know. I've been talking a lot here on smoke and mirrors from Honda. What's your take on this, Bruce?
Can I put my tinfoil hat on a second?
I know what's coming. Go for it. I love this.
We don't know this for certain. This is totally speculation. I literally do not know this for certain. But from just scuttlebutt around the office, we have kind of heard that maybe, you know, you will be able to get an Si with an automatic transmission. That automatic might just be a CVT, which makes a lot of these changes moot. You know, the kind of the flywheel, the faster shifting, the stuff like that. It kind of, it renders these issues moot. The other thing is that we know Acura is reviving the Integra. And we're pretty certain that it rides on the same platform as the new Civic.
I see where this is going.
And we're curious, did Honda purposefully kneecap the Civic Si so that they could release a hotter Integra call it a Type S. Maybe it's just an Integra S. You know, it's not the hottest model. It's the nice one where they can offer a true automatic or a DCT, a dual clutch transmission. They can offer a little bit more power and sell that for more money. And so basically have a very similar vehicle that's using a lot of the same components, but do that for more money and make more money off of them. Plus reviving the Integra name, which for, you know, Gen Xers, Gen Zers like you and I, that the Integra is a thing. Like we, yep, we remember the Integra well.
They'll pull on some heartstrings there for sure.
Yeah. And I just wonder if we're getting played here. Like, I wonder if they, if Honda's playing the game and they're like, okay, Honda and Acura, we're going to have a, we're going to have the Civic for, you know, your kind of your mass market. If you want a performance oriented Civic, you'll have your SI. If you want your performance oriented Civic, but you want the luxuries, you want, you know, a proper automatic, you want some really good leather, you want a little bit more power, then you have your Integra. Maybe there's an Integra Type S above that. And then the full Zoot is the Civic Type R at the very top of the range. I just wonder if they're playing that game a little bit.
You know what? I'm not even sure you need to wear a tinfoil hat for that, because this is the way this is playing out to me. It's a, I feel like it's pretty obvious, especially when you see the SI coming out with a little less horsepower. It wouldn't be hard at all. Not at all. That 1.5 liter turbo, you can eke out another 20, 25 horse from that.
Certainly.
That would not be difficult at all.
Well, we know they can add 10, so you're basically saying add 15.
So, I mean, the reason they decided to take it down, the only thing I can think of is, yeah, they're trying to leave some generous room so when the Integra comes out, even just the standard Integra, mm-hmm, I will bet a gazillion dollars the standard Integra will have more power than the Civic Si, and it'll be available with the manual. And not only will it be available,
we know it's going to be available with the manual because they've shown us that. Like, we have a spy shot showing, or a teaser image is showing us that.
Well, and that's what I'm going to show right now.
Okay.
Because I want everybody to take a look. I'm not going to play this video just to make sure we don't get into YouTube's bad graces. But that's a top-down view of the new Acura Integra manual transmission. Does it look like anything, Bruce? Because to me, it looks almost exactly like the Honda Civic Si manual transmission. You've got the same bezel there in the middle. You've got the array of buttons and switches just to the left. It's the exact same layout that we're seeing in the SI.
And for anyone watching on YouTube, here we're seeing it in the SI. Here is they look identical.
Yeah. Like, that confirms. Well, I guess I shouldn't say confirms.
It doesn't confirm, but it
heavily because it's suggests. Not an official word, but it certainly suggests that the Integra is going to be using the Civic platform. It'll have probably all of the SI kind of tweaks here to it.
Yep.
It means it could very well have much of the SI's bodywork. And of course, we know the SI is a hatchback, and we know that the Integra is a hatchback. We're going to get a revamped Acura front fascia. Is the Integra just going to be a slightly hotter Civic Si? And that's why the current Civic Si, frankly, isn't that hot. I don't even think that needs a tinfoil hat.
That's a bummer if true. That, like,
I think it really is. Because you know they'll charge quite a bit more for the Integra.
Yeah.
Because it'll be under the luxury Acura brand. Meanwhile, folks like us and Honda, I was ready to get a Civic Si last year. Your dealership out here in South Dakota just didn't want to get one. I had the money down ready to go. So I'm speaking to somebody that was really into this car, ready to get one last year. I'm not interested in this one. I'm not interested in this one. And that's pretty sad. It feels to me like it's not a Honda Civic Si. It's a Honda Civic with an appearance package. and a little bit more power from the standard Civic. And so, I think that's distinctive because traditionally, yeah, the SI has been a notable step up, and I just don't think this one is.
So I was actually thinking about this as we were kind of preparing for this episode. And tell me if I'm wrong, and tell me if I'm being too negative, because you know I have a pessimistic streak in me. Things can happen. Do we live in a rough time for people wanting an affordable performance car? Not even let's call it performance, an affordable sporty/fun car. That the fact that you know we have the new WRX coming that has a bigger engine but has almost no increase in terms of power. We have the Civic coming that has the same engine with essentially the same output, but like you said, slightly different. You know, the power comes on earlier, it lasts longer. That's something. It just feels like the Camaro, as far as we know, is dying. If you're a youngish person, if you're in your early 30s and you want a fun car and you want it to be new, you don't want to buy used because on used, that's a whole separate thing.
Right, right.
It just feels like it's a bad time.
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I don't think there are very many options. Now you're talking about like a single use car, like this has to be like a daily driver with some measure of practicality.
Because that's the thing. Someone in their late 20s, early 30s, even into their mid 30s, you know, you don't necessarily have enough money or space or whatever to own two cars, mm-hmm. depending on where you live, three cars if you own a house and only have a two car. Like there are space considerations. And so you have to consolidate those things that, mm-hmm. you know, financially, technically, yeah, me looking at myself, I could afford a fun car, but I don't have enough a place to put it. So whenever it comes time for me to buy a new car, it needs to kind of fill both of those holes because I don't have enough room for three, but I can do my wife's car and mine.
And there are vehicles that can serve that role quite well, but you got to step up in price to get them.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The stuff, I mean, Honda Civic SI, add another 30 horsepower. You know, maybe it looks more interesting to somebody who wants a little bit more performance for their money. But yeah, I'm trying to think of some cars here that might fit the bill. I mean, what's a BRZ go for?
Yeah, the BRZ is one, especially the new one. What that is, I think it's 28, 27 to start, and like a one is in the mid 30s.
But I mean, I'm thinking, okay, if you can keep it under 30, I mean, these days you still need a pretty decent job to afford that. Keep it under 30, but a BRZ, if you live anywhere with snow, unless you're comfortable with some opposite lock, it's going to get a little rough. You can say the same thing for like an EcoBoost Mustang or the four-cylinder V6 Camaro. Anywhere where you live with some snow, you can do it. Put some good snow tires on, a little bit of weight in the back. Everybody knows I'm a big proponent of snow tires, but it's not going to be an ideal situation. You know, a front-wheel drive Civic Si is going to be a little bit more friendly in the snow.
So just for I was right. So a new BRZ starts at $28,000. With destination 28, 29, 28, 955 with destination.
Right.
So a choice. That's
doable. I mean it's a choice, but I mean I worry about the practicality of that car. It's not gonna be ideal. I mean something like a WRX, but I mean you're gonna step up to about $30,000 for a Rex now, I think, aren't you? You're thirty or over for an all-wheel drive WRX. So
the thing is that you could make a very, very strong argument that buying a three-year-old, once whatever the refresh was that they got the nicer infotainment, I think it was like three or four, WRX is as nice, you might even be able to say nicer than the current one.
Yeah.
And you're obviously going to spend less because it's a three, four-year-old vehicle.
It's a good argument. And it also shows what automakers are facing here. Okay. Why should I consider a brand new Civic Si when I could have something that fits my needs far, far better, both from a performance standpoint and a practicality standpoint by going 3 or 4 years old in the used market. I mean, that's something that automakers need to consider.
Funny that you mentioned that, because I actually had this pulled up. So this is when the previous generation SI debuted. So 2017 started at $24,775. I wrote this story back in 2017. I haven't looked at used prices, but I know for sure it's less than $24,775 because that's not the way cars work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could have a vehicle that makes exactly the same. Has more horsepower, actually, has exactly the same amount of torque, and you're paying less for it. And that's hard to fight in a certain yep. way. Like, certainly the new one has its advantages, but as a realistic, real-world shopper, why wouldn't I just go find a 3-year-old, 4-year-old Civic Si? Because at that point, it's going to be, like I said, I didn't look at prices, but I got to bet it's going to be sub 20, if not like very, very, mm-hmm. very low 20s.
Yep.
And
I mean, the difference is new versus used.
Yeah.
And if you can find a decent used car, that's obviously a choice for many people. The new SI, to be competitive and to be on people's radar, it better drive like it's made of gold. You better get behind the wheel and just be completely amazed at how much better it is versus that previous generation. And I have to reserve final judgment until I drive it, but I don't think it'll be able to do it.
I agree. It's going to be hard, at least.
Well, let's talk really quick about the other performance car before we shift segments here.
Absolutely.
Because this is also breaking news for us as we record the podcast today. A couple days old, as you hear it. I wrote this today. Chevrolet dropped a teaser video of a feature film that they're going to debut with the new Corvette Z06. It's going to be like this 30-minute film that's going to kind of, I guess, talk about the development of the Corvette. They're going to have a little bit of celebrity power in there.
Smith, do you think if I would get in trouble if I hit this play button here on YouTube so people could see it? It's only like 30 seconds. What do you think, man?
You know, 8 seconds is the golden rule for YouTube. I know.
Play and count to 7 and then stop.
Okay. Let's do it. Go.
So we're starting. There's 1, 2, 3.
I mean, we see the headlights there a little bit. We see the taillights.
6, 7, and 8.
Yeah. A film that captures. And I mean, the key points in this teaser are really, they're flashed up for maybe a second or so. Mm-hmm. It's important because, one, we see an image, a silhouetted image of a convertible. And I actually have a couple of the screenshots that I included in the article here. So we can show people that at least, Bruce.
Oh, perfect. Pull this up.
This is the first time that we've confirmed, okay, there will be a Z06 convertible. It was pretty much assumed. There had been some spy shots, but this is the first confirmation. Yep. Z06 convertible. From what we can see here, it looks like it's pretty much going to follow the same formula as the Stingray. Being silhouetted, we can't see any of the other, body details.
That thing's going to sound so good, though. The fact that you're riding around without a roof and what we hear of the engine in this video.
Yes.
If you're watching this on YouTube, go to motorone.com, go to Smith's story so you can actually hear the engine. Clint, our coworker, said his exact words is, it sounds like a freaking Ferrari.
It does.
And it does. Like, imagine that with no top. It's going to just be a banshee.
And why does it sound that way? Because we also got a confirmation of at least, and there's a reason I say that I'll get to in a minute. The engine redlines at least at 8,500 RPM. We know that because there's just, it's like a quarter of a second. I take that back. The speedometer screenshot, it's up on the screen for like a good second and a half, but we can see the digital readout of the tachometer. The TAC goes up to 9,000 RPM, but the red line starts at 8,500. And for the record, yes, we counted, we zoomed in, we counted those individual hash
many,
marks.
Many times, many times. People for Motor One counted.
Many
this.
People for Motor One. The reason
we all know how to count to 10, apparently.
Yes, that's amazing. Us car people, we're so smart. The reason we did that is because in their announcement of this teaser, Chevrolet did a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They said 8,600 seconds from now.
Minutes.
Sorry, you're right. 8,600 minutes from now, this film will debut when the Corvette Z06 debuts. And it's like, well, that's a rather odd way to describe time, isn't it? What could 8,600 possibly stand for? Then the general consensus is, okay, the Z06 will have a red line of 8,600 RPM. We couldn't get Chevrolet to confirm that. I actually called Chevrolet, a Chevrolet spokesperson directly, said, look, we can clearly see the tachometer has the red line posted right there at 8,500 RPM. You're mentioning 8,600 minutes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, in your release. Can you confirm, you know what's going on here? And no, can't confirm anything at this time. So we can see with our own eyes 8,500 RPM. Does it actually redline at 8,600 RPM? It very well could. But that was some discussion that we had today, because we want to make sure we get things accurate. Of course, Chevrolet, they like to play this game sometimes. Most automakers do. Kind of leaving us a little bit in the dark. 8,500, 8,600, it doesn't matter. This thing screams. It sounds unlike any other Corvette before. And I tell you what, Bruce, I was kind of nosing around in Chevrolet's video on YouTube after they put this up. There are some people that are legit upset about this. I guess.
What are they upset about?
It has to be like the old school vet people. There was one commenter that was like, oh, let's see. You took away the manual transmission. You took away the engine in the front. Now you're taking away the push rod. This isn't a Corvette. It's a Ferrari.
This isn't the first push rod.
It's not the first non-push rod engine in a Corvette. I know that. Whether this person knows it or not, I don't know. But there were a few comments that were just like, "Oh, this thing just isn't even a Corvette anymore." Well.
I think
the sales and the demand speak for itself.
That's saying the C8R race car isn't a Corvette as well. And I would say the people who built and developed and raced that are the hardest of hardcore Corvette fans you're going to find around. So I'm not on board with that.
When the C8 first debuted a couple years ago, there's a big Corvette meet that goes on out here in the South Dakota Black Hills that gets cars from all over the country. And I actually went up to that meet the day the Corvette debuted. And I talked to quite a few people just getting their opinions. Most of them were just kind of on the fence. They wanted to know more about it. They wanted to see what it was like. They wanted to experience what it was like. A few were really excited about it. And a few were just like, hell no. Engine behind me, hell no. That's not a Corvette. Those were also the same people that said, no round taillights, hell no, that's not a Corvette. So with any enthusiast group, you're always going to find your specific people that to them, the car can only fit one very, very small definition. I'm excited as hell.
Do my version of this. To me, okay. It's the Subaru WRX has to be a hatchback crowd that it drives me up a wall. All of the original ones that like raced and were WRC, those were sedans or coupes. Yeah, there was a very successful hatchback, but the WRX can be either a hatchback or a sedan. It works as both. I understand the joy of it as a hatchback, but let's talk about Corvette some more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there'll always be those people. I can't wait to see this thing. I can't wait to hear this thing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. Hey, it's a completely different evolution for the Corvette. But things that don't evolve die. I mean, yeah. Chevy people, just be glad that Corvette is still tied to a low slung two door sports car slash supercar, as opposed to, I don't know, say an electric crossover of a certain brand. I mean, that's
the rumor.
So, I mean, this teaser, I wish Corvette would just debut it already. I'm okay with this teaser because they're giving us some interesting info. We know now, okay, there's going to be a convertible. The engine is revving to 8,500 RPM, possibly 8,600 before the rev limiter kicks in. We won't find that out until I think October 26th is when this debuts.
Right, which is of course pretty soon, all things considered.
Yeah, it's it'll just be a few days from now as you're listening to the podcast. And of course, you can catch all of that happening on MotorOne.com. We'll have all the information there. But yeah, interesting stuff here for the Z06. What are your thoughts on the Z06? Is it a real Corvette because the engine is behind the driver and it's not a pushrod? Your thoughts on the
I just want to go through kind of the rumors we've heard. So okay. We're kind of hearing 5.5 liter dual overhead cam, flat plane crank. Have you heard anything different from that?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, just some variation on the displacement, but 5.5 is the consensus.
Yeah.
We don't have a horsepower figure yet, obviously. We're hearing could be up to 600. I mean, if you have 5.5 liters revving to 8,500 RPM, I mean, to me,
with a flat plane crank, that's,
I mean, to me, 600 is certainly in the realm because it's not supposed to have any forced induction. It's supposed to be naturally aspirated. Again, these are just rumors. That's not confirmed yet.
No. Yeah.
But it will be confirmed very, very soon. And, excited to see this happen.
Agreed. Like it's fun. It's a cool car. Like the Z06, especially since the C5 Z06, really, like the Z06s have kind of been the Corvettes to love. Like you can, the ZR1, you know, other models are cool, but the Z06 has kind of been that perfect mix of like, you know, of a lot of power, but not too much power. And this one looks like it's going to be good.
With the extra power, with the engine behind the driver, with the extra traction on the wheels, I'm interested to see just how quick it is 0 to 60, how quick it is quarter mile. Of course, it's also going to be aimed at taming tracks as well. But we have to move on. So send us your thoughts on the Z06. I also want to hear what everybody thinks about the SI. The feedback that we've been getting thus far has been mixed.
I think with a hair leaning towards negative.
Yeah, leaning towards negative.
Yeah.
Has somebody that was ready to buy a Civic Si last year, I'm particularly disappointed. But give us your feedback on that. Give us your feedback on the Cayman as well. podcast@motorone.com is the email. You can always comment on our articles. You can always comment on our Motor One Podcast YouTube channel. We want to hear all about that. Speaking of our YouTube channel, we didn't talk about comments last week. We had a lot of other things to talk about. We want to bring up just a few comments this week. One actually from a couple weeks ago, and then one from our most recent podcast. Bruce, do you want me to go first, or do you want to head off on that?
I'm happy to go first. I was pulling this up. Where is it? Real quick, if you can, please subscribe. We have had, I'm looking at the numbers now, we've had 17 more subscribers in the past 2 weeks, and we appreciate all of those people that are deciding to subscribe to us. You know, hey, 7 a week by... if we did it over the course of a year, that would be fantastic. So, hey, for all of you folks that decided to subscribe, we love it. So I'm going back 2 weeks now. This is when we were talking about our Halloween cars. Smith said, we didn't get to do comments last week, so I'm throwing this one out now. This is from our buddy Ted. Ted said, great episode of rambling. The scariest car I can think of is a used British sports car with questionable reliability and don't drive after dark electrics.
Good. He's referring to the episode we did where we were talking about scary Halloween cars.
Yeah, this is the scary Halloween cars episode. And
great episode that you should go back and watch. Oh, my God. That is hilarious. And he wasn't so done. True.
So questionable reliability, don't drive after dark electrics, and was bought from a shady used car lot that has negative equity rolled into it from a 7-year loan.
That's Nightmare on Main Street right there. That's not so Elm Street. That's Nightmare on Main Street.
Any Jaguar that would fit that bill. And then our buddy Josiah also suggested a Triumph Stag. You know what? Both are right. I would not want to buy either one of those cars from such a dealer, especially what was the Jaguar.
What was the episode we did? That was a while ago where we need to do another one of those where we picked like the cars that we would never buy.
But we'll
get our friends to buy. Right. Just
it was
drive
the car
them
you were buying for a friend. Yeah. Because you didn't want to deal with it, but you wanted to drive it once it got fixed. Yeah.
You know, I'd hate to say it, but an XJS is still going to be in my garage one of these days. I know I'm going to have to learn just how to work on it completely because one, nobody else will.
Hell.
And two, if I did find somebody, they're going to want a gazillion dollars. So I'll just have to learn to work on it myself. That'll be all right. What? Thanks for that comment, Ted. That could be the scariest Halloween for an auto enthusiast ever.
Agreed.
So last week's episode where we're talking about the Lexus LX debut, our friend Josiah chimed in on that one. Oh, what a shock. An ugly Lexus. Bravo. The LX is just a big, dramatically styled cube. Not necessarily wrong there. This is interesting, though. Doesn't even have the likability of the Land Cruiser. What do you think about that, Bruce?
I disagree, because once you're behind the wheel, you don't see the Lexus nose, and otherwise it is a Land Cruiser. And you know, because mechanically, it's a Land Cruiser. Everything right. that you do in it is a Land Cruiser. It's just got the ugly Lexus nose. So I don't agree with that part. Well, I see where he's coming from. I can see the joke he's making. I just don't necessarily agree.
Well, I mean, if we both said that, you know what, the sportier version of the Land Cruiser we kind of like. So,
maybe
a little bit of middle ground there. Goes on to say on the E-Rakes, we were also talking about the Corvette E-Ray spy shots we saw last week. On the E-Ray, I personally think it could be the sports car to make the statement to the general public in regards to the EV transition that electrics are the norm. You know, that's a good point, because we've yet to see an American performance car that's really using hybrid technology. The E-Ray would be the first. I mean, unless you consider Mach-E, Mach-E is still a four-door crossover.
So this is a comment that's a few weeks old, but Josiah, he asked us why we don't like Elon Musk. And I gave him my reasons that he was a COVID denier early on. He seems to be anti-union, but I got to give credit where credit is due. The Model S Plaid, it at least in a straight line, and I don't think, you know, it's going to take some doing for it to set a Nürburgring lap time or something like that. But in a straight line, it's a world beater, and he's really showing that electric cars can do something. And trust me, it hurts me to praise Elon Musk. It hurts me a lot, but I got to praise him in this case. I think Elon is kind of already set those – put those tracks in front of him.
I see where you're going there, but I still don't think people, the majority of the motoring public, I still don't think they consider Tesla has the norm. But if you see a Corvette,
it depends on where you live. Like if you live in a Northern California or something like that.
Yeah, but that's one part versus the entire country.
Totally. Yeah.
But if you see, and I'm with Josiah here, if you see a Corvette with a hybrid system that's adding 200 horsepower. Yeah. And this thing is the quickest Corvette of all time. Whether you're for or against electricity, there's no way you can argue against the performance benefits. So, I mean, it could be a bridge to making electricity more of the norm.
And you just mentioned that the quickest Corvette of all time. I think if you took it around a track, I bet the Z06 will be the faster. Or sorry, I'm doing those in reverse. The E-Ray will be quicker in a straight line. The Z06 will do a better lap time around a track.
I mean, it could be. It depends on how well they package the hybrid system.
But all that stuff adds weight. It adds, you know, complexity. Yeah. It adds all sorts of things. The batteries, it's a lot. Whereas if you can get still, and this isn't going to be true for very long, but if you can get a really good internal combustion engine for these next 15, 10 years, you will still be better around a track. But eventually that's going to shift. I'm happy to be wrong here.
No, I mean, weight is an enemy of performance. If it's packaged properly in an electric car, way down low, the weight is still there, and eventually physics will come up and say, you're not going to take this corner as quick as you want to, because mass doesn't like to change direction like that. So, the technology has to come in to bring these weights down, in other areas. And that generally means prices will go up, but as technology goes forward,
prices go up, then you build more and more of them, and then prices go down. Yep. I am not saying electric motors are the future in terms of pure on-track performance. It's a further future than I think a lot of people think. Okay. I'm talking purely track time, fast stuff, the normal human driving around. I think it's realistic in a much quicker time frame.
Okay. Hey, we'll see what the future has to hold there. Speaking of the future, let me just get the last of his comment here, because he was also wondering our opinion on the Cadillac CT5V Blackwing. From everything I've read, It seems like a really great driver's car, a great last hurrah for internal combustion engines for GM. I think it looks terrific. Also, don't forget the car revival segment. Keep rambling, guys. Thanks, Josiah, as always, for commenting. We have not forgotten the segment. We actually have some
in there. Yeah,
we have some plans in the works.
It's a good segment. It's just things kind of keep getting in the way, but we will get there.
Yeah, no, we will get there. We have some things in the works that I think people are going to like in the coming weeks for the podcast. And I actually, I responded on YouTube on this one. Yeah, I mean, the CT5V Blackwing, the CT4, both of those cars, I think, are outstanding performance cars for their segments. I'm a little soured on Cadillac just in general, just for the way the Cadillac feels very much like a lost automaker right now. And I think, unfortunately, that's taking a toll on their Blackwings. I mean, initially, obviously, Blackwing is going to be a new engine that was going to be used in new vehicles. And then apparently, and I don't know any of this is absolutely true, but apparently somebody decided, well, no, we're not going to do that after all. Mm-hmm. Cut the strings there. So Cadillac had to change direction. They came out with the CT5V, which, okay, this is their new big super muscle sedan. That actually wasn't their big super muscle sedan, and everybody's scratching their heads. Okay, what's going on? Oh, no. We're actually going to have something else that's above this that becomes Blackwing. And then ultimately the CT5V Blackwing and the CT4V really are just extensions of the old CTSV and the ATSV, which were canceled to make room for new cars with new engines that they then decided, okay, we're not going to do that. So we'll take these old engines, give them a little bit more power, and put them in the new cars. It's just Cadillac. They feel rather lost at the moment. But that all being said, I am very glad they went ahead and they brought out these new Blackwing vehicles. They are going to be the last hurrah for Cadillac internal combustion performance. They're going out with a bang. I do like the looks of both the CT5V Blackwing and the CT4V. I know some people think they're maybe a little mild, but I mean, it's what Cadillac should be. I don't think Cadillac needs to be really shouty. And yeah, we've actually driven both cars. If you go to MotorOne.com, just search up Blackwing, you'll be able to see our first drives and our reviews for the CT5V Blackwing, CT4V Blackwing. They're definitely some impressive performance machines.
So going from the Black Wing to the Dark Knight.
Nice.
The last thing we wanted to talk about is in the past week, we have covered the new Batmobile three times because the movie was, this is my opinion, maybe it's not the case, but I'm pretty sure it's right. The movie was delayed. It was supposed to originally come out, I believe, in like summer of this year, June, July. I have it in a post I wrote. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's been delayed. I mean, has have a lot of movies. And obviously this is of our interest because Batmobile, I mean, I'm not sure there's a more iconic or better known movie vehicle or television vehicle than the Batmobile. It's endured. Wow. It's endured for generations in various iterations. The new one obviously has people's attention because it's arguably the most based in reality Batmobile we've ever seen. Is that a stretch?
I don't think it is. So real quick, it was supposed to originally come out June 2021. And then obviously because of coronavirus, it was delayed. And then it was October 2021. Obviously that's a skip. So now March 4th, 2022 is the release date. But because it was supposed to come out way out in June, all of the toy makers, the model makers, the people like that, they have their products ready. And they want them out before the holiday season, which, you know, anyone in the United States, we're coming up on pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we saw in the last week, we just saw a flurry of Batman stuff, a new Batmobile stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a cool design. I think this critique came last year. I haven't heard it so much. But I almost feel like it's a Fast and Furious inspired design in a little bit. It's a very like...
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, you're absolutely not wrong there.
It's a very like late 60s, early 70s muscle car vibe. Whether you're talking about, there's a little Mustang, there's a little Camaro, Challenger, Charger. It's all kind of mixed in to get this one vehicle.
I see a lot of Charger, a lot of classic Charger, especially in that roof line, kind of the profile. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details on how the car is built, but I wouldn't be surprised if a Charger is at its base there.
Yeah, we haven't seen the movie, so neither one can say, but there's definitely, if not anything else, whoever sculpted this thing looked at a Charger and said, yeah, I want a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, well, and if you're not catching us on YouTube, again, go see us on YouTube because we're looking at photos right now of a 1/10 scale Batmobile that was released. Well, it will be released by Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. Hot Wheels, they do make some larger collectibles like this. This one looks fantastic. It's radio controlled. Mm-hmm. I think it does like 10 or 15 miles an hour. It's not like your performance radio controlled cars like you traditionally find in the hobby. But it's extraordinarily detailed.
That's what I was going to say. It's
the interior is detailed. There's a Batman behind the wheel who's connected to the steering wheel and the shifter. So as you're steering, Batman is actually steering the car. As you go forward and backwards, Batman is actually shifting the car forwards and backwards. It's got light up LED lights in the front, light up LED lights in the back. And there's a little reservoir that you can put water into. And because every Batmobile has to have an afterburner, a jet engine, right? So mm-hmm. there's a little reservoir you can put water into that will turn it into mist and push that mist out of the little afterburner cone that's mounted behind the V8 engine that this car has.
It's lit up so it kind of looks red as it's coming out of the vehicle, especially if you're in kind of a dark setting.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the interior, I mean, it's got detailed gauges. if you were to just look at it from a glance, the interior, you'd think, okay, that's a real car with somebody sitting behind the wheel. They did a really good job.
They did. And we should say this thing is $500. So this is maybe not what you're going to buy your kid for Christmas. This is what your kid and your wife are going to buy you for Christmas.
Exactly. I mean, this thing, I mean, you can drive it around. It even comes with its own like mini Batcave kind of platform that it sits on with different computer screens that are lit. I mean, it's a cool collectible, and $500 in the radio controlled world. I mean, that's kind of par for the course. People that are into the hobby, it's not hard to spend $500. I mean, this isn't something that you're going to take to your local track or go run through the backyard. But if you're a Batman fan, it's certainly an outstanding collectible. But I think more for our purposes, Bruce, this gives us probably the best look we've had so far of what this new Batmobile looks like. I mean, assuming that it's correct to what we see on the screen, but
it's got to be close just from we've seen the trailer. So I'm going to switch over. I will show the Lego version now that is also coming out. I believe, coming out November 1st. This one is only $100 only, rather than $500. So it's Lego, so it doesn't have quite the same level of fidelity, but, you know, it's also a fifth of the price.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's basically the same vehicle. Like, we pretty much know what the new Batmobile looks like, and it's an interesting difference. So we had... I never really watched the Justice League America movies, the Zack Snyder movies, like with Ben Affleck. Like, I kind of missed that generation for whatever reason.
I did, but honestly, I don't remember the car that he drove. I guess maybe I blocked it from my memory. I'm not a big Batman person. I'm not a big comic person.
But then, you've got the Christopher Nolan one, which is that super like military ready, just. You had something to say?
Yeah, I was gonna say, let me do a quick screen share here, because it was last year I wrote an article. Warner Brothers, for free, they put up a Batmobile documentary on YouTube, and it's still there, and it goes through all of the Batmobile generations up to the Tumbler from the Dark Knight series. So, and it's kind of neat to see them all there in a row. I mean, right now we're looking at obviously the original, and then it goes up through the Keaton era, and then the Val Kilmer era, the George Clooney era, and then it ends with the Tumbler, which, I mean, that certainly is unlike any other Batmobile ever. I don't know if you could call it based in reality, although this car was built. Right. Specifically, I mean, it wasn't built as a showpiece. It was built and designed to actually drive and jump and do the things you see it do in the movie. So, I mean, it is a functional vehicle, but it's not really based in reality.
Right. So just for background, so the new Batman movie is called The Batman, and Robert Pattinson is going to be playing Bruce Wayne / Batman in that. And from everything we've heard, it is supposed to be his second year as Batman. So he is a younger guy. It doesn't seem like he has all of his money yet. So it kind of makes sense that he might take a relatively production vehicle and use the resources that he has to slice it up and convert it into what we're seeing, which is a neat idea. You know, it's not, it's a bit different, because if you look at like the 89 Batmobile, which is, to me, I think it's probably just because of our age is the most iconic, you know, maybe if you're born a little earlier, the 66 one, but whatever, the 89 one with the jet flying out the back, and it just looks so badass. And there's that. Then kind of in the further movies, like especially the Joel Schumacher ones, it just got cartoonish. And then Christopher Nolan, like we were just showing, his Batmobile it's much more of a functional thing. It's something you could imagine a military using, even though it's still kind of cartoonish in its own way. So they all seem to fit with their own story, if that makes sense. That, you know, Michael Keaton is kind of the middle-aged Batman. Like, he's been around for a while once we see that. I don't know.
It's, well, I mean, You're definitely like, not wrong.
Stupid.
You're definitely not wrong about the cartoonish.
This is, I bet, Batman and Robin or one of the Joel Schumacher ones. It's got this massive wing that's probably as long as the car. It just looks dumb.
It was all about flash and bang and not based in reality. But then again, Batman isn't based in reality, right? I guess maybe there's a couple camps there. Should the Batmobile be larger than life and just extraordinarily fabulous and elegant at the same time? It's cartoonish, but it's kind of elegant too. The Schumacher heirs with just the crazy long bonnet and then that ridiculous tail. And then you jump over to the Nolan, the Dark Knight stuff where, that looks like kind of like a stealth fighter. And I think it was designed to be that way.
What I think is interesting, I think functional. The one that we're looking at here and then also the Matt Reeves, the Batman, Robert Pattinson one, they mm-hmm. both look like something that if Elon Musk just decided to throw money at the wall, it could actually be made and be functional. Whereas the kind of the Schumacher ones, even maybe the Tim Burton ones, like what we're looking at here, like that's never going to be a realistic vehicle on the road. It's just so cartoonish. So there's a functionality that goes too far versus a cartoonishness that goes too far. And it's an interesting balance.
We've been talking about this and we haven't talked about the original, which obviously was based on the Ford. I can't remember the name of the concept.
The Lincoln
car.
Futura, right?
I think you're right. The Lincoln Futura, the concept car. That it was based on. I've seen a few replicas of these out there. You don't really see many replicas of the others just because, what are you going to base that off of? We've seen a few replicas of the Keaton Batman, the Keaton Batmobile. In fact, I think that's a picture of one of the replicas right there. I don't think that's one of the movie cars. And this all comes from that documentary, which if you go to Motor One and just search up Batmobile documentary, you'll be able to see these photos. And that documentary is still on YouTube if you're a Batman fan. It's certainly interesting to watch. It doesn't have anything on the Batman, the latest film, which, by the way, I think the car is neat. I like that it looks like a real car. And like you said, looks like something that maybe if somebody didn't have a gazillion dollars and they were just trying to make do with what they had, it's still quite a car to just make do with what you have. I think that could become my favorite Batmobile. And now I'm speaking as somebody that's not really that into Batman. That could be my favorite Batmobile, but I'd be honest, I have no interest in seeing the movie. It's like, How many times can he tell the same story?
I'm in the same boat. So real quick, here is the Lincoln Futura concept was from 1955. I apologize. I know this is a grainy image, but it's what I got, what I could find. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see, first off, there's a lot of Ford Thunderbird there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of Ford Thunderbird. But you can also see those, like, the bubble canopy is like somewhere between a P-38 fighter plane and the Batmobile. Like
that was the era where that the jet age was just coming into its own and everything had to have fins and it had to have intakes and it had to have those big bubble canopies.
But yeah, so that's what the Batmobile, not Lloyd Barris. What was his name? George Barris. He somehow got a hold of this concept car and kind of reskinned it and created the Batmobile from it. But you can see, from what he did, like the basics were there and then he kind of redid things from what he had available. And this is super real quick. Let me make sure the timing's going to be right because again, copyright is dumb. So I have purchased, for anyone who doesn't know, Riff Tracks. They were the former Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys. They have riffed the entire first Batman serial. And obviously in the first Batman serial, Batman needs to drive a Batmobile. But his Batmobile is just a normal car. So I'm going to share this and I am going to count to eight. I looked it up. It is hold on one second. It is a 1949 Ford Mercury convertible, or just Mercury convertible. So we will watch this for 8 seconds because we can.
49 Mercury, huh?
49 Merc convertible.
That'll be a big machine.
Let me find it. He's going to be chasing a train here.
49. It's not even going to have fins on it at that point.
2, 3. Oh, there's a bad guy. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Show the car again. Come on. Oh,
there it is.
There's Batman. Okay. That's all we got.
Batman in a Mercury convertible.
Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. Not that I have anything against the old Mercs, but yeah. I would take any other Batmobile over that one. What, Bruce, what's your choice Batmobile?
This is the obvious answer because when I was born, I'm your number one guy. This town needs an enema. Like, it's the 89 Batmobile. It's going to, like.
The Keaton Batmobile?
It's the Keaton Bat. Like, yeah. Sorry. Like, it's the obvious answer.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's probably my number two behind the brand new one.
I feel everyone says the James Bond that you grew up with is your James Bond. I actually kind of don't like Pierce Brosnan that much. I'm more of a Daniel Craig guy, but I agree with the sentiment that, like, the Batman, because at this point there have been the Batmans and Bonds are basically the same thing. You've got your Keatons, you've got your Cloonies, you've got your Kilmers, you've got your, not Bateman. What's his name? The Christopher Nolan one.
Oh my God, I'm blanking on it too. What?
Why am I thinking Bateman? Because that's where he played in American Psycho.
Why can't I think of his name? Now I'm going to have to Google it up. I hate when I have to Google up stuff that I should know.
And anyway, and then Robert Pattinson after that, like there have been, and then Ben Affleck, which is kind of, I feel like, the forgotten Batman.
Take a deep breath because it's Christian Bale.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Amazing actor. Anyway, you know what? I need to take another drink here.
Oh no, he is amazing. I've
not had enough to drink yet tonight.
That was the one actor whose name I forgot, even though I named all the other ones.
Let me ask you one other question, Bruce, because we're getting towards the end here.
Yeah,
and this can be kind of fun. And this will be a question that everybody can email us and comment on. When it comes to famous cars, whether it's movies or television, if you could pick just one to have to drive, whether it's a daily driver, whether it's just a show car, anything famous, we'll open it up to anything famous, something that people really know. What would your car be?
Oh man. So it has to be famous that people know. So I'm not going to like try to reach into the back of my mind and be like, oh, the Volkswagen and Scirocco in Dawn of the Dead, like, which is real.
Nope. Just seeing a car on television isn't enough. Okay. It has to be famous, if not borderline a character itself. So, like the Ecto-1s and the DeLoreans and things like that. One.
Right. You just talked about the Ecto. So I got my haircut yesterday. I was talking to my hairstylist. And she has a 6-year-old son, and she was talking about how he sees movies that are technically he shouldn't be seeing, like Avengers films. And I'm like, when I was 6, what was I watching? Oh yeah, I watched Ghostbusters and Indiana Jones over and over again. So yeah, Ecto-1, that might be my answer.
Really?
Yeah, I like Ecto-1.
That's a pretty prominent car.
It is. I mean, like, I could go obscure for you. Like I said, the Scirocco and Dawn of the Dead. But
oh no. When I say prominent, I mean it's famous, but it's like famous. I mean, it's like you are not going to daily drive that to the grocery store because everybody's going to want to get in it. Everybody's going to want a picture.
But I just shared this in our chat. What was it yesterday? The people that are converting their Subaru Outbacks into Ecto-1 tribute cars, even though that's not a thing that ever existed, but they're wagons and apparently it works. Let me see if I can pull that image up while you talk a little bit.
Well, while you talk about that, I got to share mine. It's probably not going to come as a surprise to you. It's got to be the original Mad Max Falcon, man.
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing famous that I would want more. And mind you, I'm a big Smokey and the Bandit fan. I would love a 77 Trans-Am. That would be just a, that would be an awesome car to drive because it's decently quick. It looks fantastic. Take the T-tops out, fame and notoriety wherever you go. But man, that XB Falcon, 1974 XB GT, two door with the blower out of the hood. Obviously, you know, having it just turn on and off with a switch, that's a little bit of Hollywood trickery, but there are some replicas out there. I don't know. There used to be a company called Mad Max Cars that you could buy, like the front clip, you know, all the parts to convert it into a Mad Max car. I don't know if they're still around, but yeah, I mean, you could have fun just going out for a drive in that car.
Totally.
And then when you went into a town or you went somewhere, I mean, even somebody that's not familiar with Mad Max with the movies, that car would just grab everybody's eye when you drove through town. The big V8, Last of the Interceptors. Yeah, that's always been my thing. It's probably always will be.
And I got to say, so I recently got the 4K version of Fury Road. That movie looks so good in 4K.
I haven't seen it yet since I watched it originally back in the theater. I should watch it again.
Oh, it holds up perfectly. So I am not going to be able to pull this up. I found the link on our Teams chat, but for some reason, it's not liking me. Let me try one thing here, and we'll see. If this doesn't work, then I'm out.
Well, while Bruce...
You know well, what? It did work. Uh-oh. Here we go. Oh,
you got it? We're going to look at something?
We are going to
look at something. Okay, what are we going to look at here?
We are going to look at a Subaru Outback converted into Ecto-1 spec from Reddit.
So is... Oh my god. They had to leave the two-tone on the bottom, really? So that's got to be Ecto-1 from looks like Ghostbusters 2 because it has all the crazy stuff on the roof.
Still, let's give this person credit.
Or is that from the reboot Ghostbusters?
It's not from the reboot. The reboot, I don't know. The reboot was like a 80s Cadillac. This is all their own creation.
Well, I mean, obviously this isn't a Cadillac, but with the caution tape on the side, I can't remember if the Ghostbusters reboot, if they did the caution tape on the side of theirs.
I think this is a Ghostbusters 2.
A Ghostbusters 2? Okay.
But still.
I mean, it would get attention, that's for sure. I would feel a little awkward, though, driving like a goofy copy of a movie car.
Yeah, but there are only so many Cadillac ambulances out there that you can convert into an Ecto-1, so you got to use what's available.
Well, use what's available, but I mean, my scenario here is it's just there. You don't have to go find it. You can just pick it and it'll come to you.
I know. I mean, the Knight Rider.
I totally forgot about that. Damn it.
Also comes to mind.
Damn it.
But like you need to do a bunch of conversions. Like you need to have the yoke steering wheel.
But no. I know a guy. I can get you. No, seriously. I didn't realize I worked with him. I worked with a guy that did a bunch of Knight Rider conversions. Like he has molds for the dash.
Oh,
he does
wow.
He does all the electronics. He has the molds for the front. He's in mid Michigan. I visited his shop and it's just like you walk in and it's just like, okay, this place is pretty cool. It looks like a dusty body shop. It looks like a dusty body shop, but that's Kit sitting right there, right? So I forgot about that. No, I still gotta stick with the Falcon.
I don't blame you. That's a good one.
I gotta stick with the Falcon. Folks, what would you pick?
Yeah,
Tell us, podcast at motor1.com. Comment on our articles that go up every Friday at the website. Comment on our YouTube page, Motor One Podcasts. Hit me up on Twitter at @CHWriting. Let me know. Maybe I'll post a tweet here in a little bit. We're looking at movie cars. Tell us what you want. So
yeah,
send us over.
And again, please subscribe. Like I said, we're doing about 7 subscribers a week. I'm fine with that. If it went to 10, you know what? I'd be happy as a clam. If it went to 14, I'd be even happier. So
You know what, Bruce? We should put out a challenge. If we can pick up 20 subscribers in the next 2 weeks,
Okay, that's doable because we were doing about 14 a week. So that's six more people. That's not much.
If we could do 20 new subscribers in the next 2 weeks, Bruce and I will each down a shot of hot sauce.
I'll do that. Yeah.
On the podcast. What do you think?
I'm fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I've got hotter hot sauce than the last time I did this. So it'll be a little bit more painful for me. The regular Cholula, that's nothing.
Well, but I've got hotter stuff.
So there you go. The challenge is laid. 20
subscribers in 2 weeks. That's right in line. That's just a little bit more than what we're doing. We can do that. I will do a shot of Cholula, and Smith will do a shot of
hotter Cholula.
Hotter Cholula, apparently.
There you go. The gauntlet is laid. Yeah. So, Bruce, I think it's time to take us home.
All right. Yeah. As always, thanks for listening to us. We love every comment. Again, we didn't get that many comments that last week. We were reading some from 2 weeks. We were reading some from 2 weeks ago. So if you want to comment, please do so. We love reading them. We love responding to them, whatever you can do for us. And we love every one of you listeners. We love that you take the time to listen to our show, no matter when it is. So good afternoon, good evening, or good night. And we just appreciate the fact that you want to listen to us talk about cars. We're probably actually going to have some guests in the coming weeks.
We're going to have some guests coming up. We have some news that if you've been following Motor One, you probably know a little bit about it, but we're going to talk more about it with some special guests coming up.
That if you might not know about, if things go right, that we might have a guest. So we're going to see, but yeah, we'll have some guests soon that you guys might be interested in. So as always, it's appreciated, and thanks for listening, and good night and goodbye.
See ya. Bye-bye.